When Tom was speaking about the climate in Canada, I had the evil thought, yeah, climate suitable for penguins. But that's the way my mind works. The theme today is similar to the theme of the last 2 weeks, trying to understand what Jesus meant by his body and blood. Do you have something in your wardrobe or something you've thrown out that you won't wear because it has been stained? Have you thrown anything out because it had been stained? I have a pair of light-coloured trousers in my wardrobe which I'm not inclined to wear now because they now have a slight pink tinge. Years ago, they were washed with one of Diane's red T-shirts, which wasn't colour fast. I'm afraid pink isn't my colour. Today's reading from John challenges us. It is one of Jesus' hard sayings which divided his followers. We read Jesus saying, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him," and so on, implying those who feed on him will live forever. Many who heard Jesus say these words found the idea about eating his flesh and drinking his blood so offensive that they left and were no longer his disciples. Jesus' words aroused controversy even among his own followers, let alone the authorities. Jesus then ties this in with the manna the Israelites survived on during the Exodus from Egypt. Jesus reminds his hearers, these people eventually died, but those who feed on the bread he gives will live forever. The idea of the body and blood of Christ is enshrined in our communion service. We are probably so used to the words that we are a bit glib as to their actual meaning. Think about it. If someone suggested that you eat their flesh and drink their blood, wouldn't you be revolted and offended by the idea? But there is a deeper meaning in Jesus' words. We are a Western people who are used to taking the meaning of words literally. I admit if I were to take Jesus' words literally, I would feel a sense of revulsion. It helps to remember Jesus was speaking to an Eastern people where word pictures of the material were used to convey abstract meanings. Jesus knew who he was. He is the word sent from heaven. Jesus is God made flesh. Through him, humankind can come into a spiritual relationship with God. How was Jesus to communicate that to the people around him? The miracles of feeding the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water were signs Jesus was more than a prophet. By doing these miracles, Jesus was doing things which were in God's province. Feeding the 5,000 was creating. Walking on water was having power over nature. So Jesus used word symbols of that which were familiar to those around him. Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus, the living water. Jesus, the door. Jesus, the light of the world. By using images the people of his time could relate to and understand, Jesus was trying to convey to people a deeper understanding of creation. The material, that is the flesh, and the spirit belong together according to God's intended plan for creation, and only by their union through Jesus is true life, that is eternal life, possible. What metaphors may Jesus have used today to explain what he meant? Maybe that we are in a state of spiritual life support, and it will be Jesus who awakens us from a spiritual coma. Or as ultraviolet light reveals a whole unseen world of colour to us, so the presence of Jesus in our life opens up a richer and deeper and more profound life. Or you may have seen on TV where someone uses night vision glasses which reveal the night world in green tones. Maybe we can understand Jesus seeks to take us from being lost in spiritual darkness to live in spiritual light. The people of Jesus' time believed life was in the blood of an animal or a person. In Jesus' words, there is implied in pouring out his blood, he is in pouring his life into his followers. How often do we confuse the body as flesh with our spirit, with the body as incarnate, that is, flesh with spirit? What the reading wants us to consider are our misunderstood ways of consumption. We eat up the world without appreciating how God has infused creation with the Spirit. Thus we use and discard it in a crude and materialistic ways. We are challenged, will we treat the world and those around us as incarnational or material? To treat the world and those around us as incarnational requires faith, requires us to believe that Jesus is the one sent by God. Keeping the flesh united with the Spirit requires us to live deeply, appreciating our interdependence and interconnectedness with our Creator, the creation, and our fellow creatures. By inviting us to eat and drink of his whole person, Jesus challenges us to live incarnationally, to become whole in both flesh and spirit as an expression of our salvation. And to live this way might not be easy. In using images such as bread and water to describe who he was, images of what sustained life, Jesus was using benign metaphors. But when Jesus used images of his flesh and blood as what he required to sustain our spiritual lives, Jesus uses metaphors which are frightening. Jesus uses these metaphors at the time of the Jewish Passover, a time when the number of sacrifices carried out at the temple in Jerusalem would have put a slaughterhouse to shame, hence the appropriateness of using such a graphic image as eating my flesh and drinking my blood. Jesus was using metaphors which pointed to what it would cost him to carry out God's work for the restoration of our spiritual relationship with God, a cost which led to death on the cross. Eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus is not meant literally, as though we are cannibals. Neither are they merely images to be explained away. The image is a metaphor to explain when we receive Jesus into our lives, which also includes participating in the sacrament of communion, it is as if our lives are in the process of being intertwined, of being enmeshed, of being inoculated with the nature and purpose of Jesus. Remember when I spoke of my trousers being coloured in the wash by a red T-shirt? Well, the Greek word for baptism can also mean to dye something. It is as if our lives are being coloured by the life, the person, the nature of Jesus. Jesus told Nicodemus, that one must be born again, born of the Spirit. My understanding, this is coming into a spiritual relationship with God. This was the birth Jesus was speaking of. And this might lead to a comfortable life, as Paul's words in Ephesians tell us. There, followers of Jesus were living among communities which didn't respect their beliefs. Paul is in prison and he is being guarded by Roman soldiers. So Paul uses metaphors of the soldier's armour to explain to his readers how to be protected against the spiritual dangers of their world. We live in a quite different world with different spiritual dangers, and perhaps some of the same dangers conformed in a different way. I suspect we live at the end of an epoch and the beginning of a new epoch. I would describe this new epoch as post-Constantine. It was the Roman Emperor Constantine who legitimised Christianity. Prior to Constantine, Christians were liable to and did suffer persecution. With Constantine, Christianity was legitimised and the church became institutionalised. And so it has been with its set rituals and built-in authority up until now. The church usually had the respect of the ruling powers. For people, the institutional church was a safe place. A person only had to attend church and follow the rituals and everything was okay. All very comfortable as long as you complied with the set beliefs of the institution. I see a difference between institutions and organisation. Even the smallest Christian community needs some organisation. However, institutions seem to develop to demand conformity. And in Ephesians reading, in our Ephesians reading, Paul challenges conforming to the established values of this world. Today, the institutional church no longer has the respect it once commanded. Its place in our society is being questioned. For some, the continuation of the institutional church is being questioned. This is why I see us at the beginning of a post-Constantine epoch. It seems we are moving from the respect the institutional church once commanded and the protection we once enjoyed within the institutional church to exposure to the forces Paul wrote about. But I don't question that there will be a continuation of gatherings of those who belong to Jesus. They will be the ones who question the direction of society. They will be the ones who won't conform to some of what is taken for granted in their community. In one of the books that I've read, the author states that Christians should always be sort of a counterculture. Being a sort of a counterculture which questions the way things are won't always be popular, as Christians will see the world through eyes opened by the Holy Spirit. As Paul describes the spiritual dangers of his world that his readers were faced with, Paul exhorts his readers to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The strength Paul implies is not a passive strength, but an active strength, which is aware and stands firm against the spiritual opposition of the day. Strength derived from the life of Christ within us. How would Paul have expressed himself today? What are some of the powers which may oppose God's will today? What about the political expediency which marginalises individuals to satisfy the electorate? What about a culture which ignores injustice perpetrated on defenceless minorities? for example, such as domestic violence or child abuse? What about corporate greed, where the profit line comes before the rights and needs of individuals or the community or the environment? We don't mention big four banks at the moment. What about the sacrifice of the environment, the sacrifice of God's creation to maintain current lifestyles without seeking alternative ways to do so? Is it a just society where 90% of the wealth is in the hands of 1 or 2% of the population? Is there a better way, a more effective way to treat those who break the rules of society rather than sending them to prison? Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came that our lives could be lived at a more than just at the material level. Up until the time of Jesus, the Jewish people relied on the law of Moses and the temple rituals as their way of expressing their relationship with God. Now it is Jesus, God in Christ, who nurtures, who sustains our relationship with God. I believe this is what Jesus was endeavouring to convey to his disciples when he used the metaphor, "eats my flesh and drinks my blood." Jesus came, as he indicated to Nicodemus, that we might be born again into a spiritual level of life where our ways, our nature, would be intertwined, would be coloured, and would be nurtured with Jesus' ways, his nature. Be encouraged that God's Holy Spirit is available to enable us to grow into this. The metaphors Jesus uses in today's reading are confronting, but what alternatives does the world offer? Sterile atheism, insipid humanism, power? Do those who seek power achieve fulfillment, achieve a sense of shalom? Or is there a sense of always looking over the shoulder for those who would usurp their place? Forget about the mechanisations in Canberra this last week. In 50 years' time, both Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin will be just a memory of leaders of a retreating past. Possessions? We all have a need for them to a certain extent. Some are necessary, but some people seem to be ruled by the need to possess. Many of us can recall with a certain amount of sadness clearing up the possessions of a deceased parent, possessions that were dear to that person but of little significance to anyone else. Wealth? Well, we can remember Jesus' parable concerning the rich fool. We could discuss sport or travel. One leaves us with only memories. The other, did we find what we were searching for? When we look at the alternatives, we can only say with Peter, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know you are the Holy One of God." Amen.